Today we want to look at this thought. God does speak to us, and sometimes we just ignore him. Or we just don't recognize his voice, and we should if we're born again believers. But the devil has a way of disguising his voice, try to make us think it's God. God does speak to us, but we must learn to recognize his voice, because Satan has a voice, and your own fleshly desires has a voice. Sometimes, time or two, I've convinced myself something was God's will, and it wasn't God at all. It was just me wanting to do it. So do you know how to recognize God's voice when he speaks to you? It's really very important. The Lord promises to reveal his will to us and direct our way. You do not have to walk around in a fog or in the dark. You can know where you're going, and you can know how to get there. Can you say, thank you, Jesus? You see, he doesn't always speak. Sometimes he just directs me. Few times I wound up in the will of God, looked around and said, how in the world did I get here? But when you ask for him to direct your path, can you believe he will? Amen. He doesn't always have to talk to you and tell you everything he's doing. If you give him permission, he can just direct your path and put you where you need to be. In Psalm chapter 34, verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. See, if I say it, I'm going to find it in the Bible. Matter of fact, that's where I got it. The steps of a good man, you might say, well, there's no good people. Well, there's those who really seek God. And that's what he's talking about. Those who truly seek God and walk God's will, their steps ordained by the Lord. God orders or directs the steps of a godly person who wants to hear and know the voice of God. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's a real key right there. If you're trusting totally in your ability, you're going to miss it. But if we trust totally in the Lord with all our hearts and lean not on our own understanding, verse 6, in all your ways acknowledge him. Acknowledge that you need him. You can't do anything without him. In other words, trust totally in the Lord and he will make your path straight, straight to success. Here's what the Amplified Bible says. He will direct your path. He will direct your paths, okay? He will direct your path. What in the world am I doing here? Thank you, Jesus. Am I at the right church? Oh, okay. Yeah, looks like it. Okay. He'll direct your paths. You see, if we submit totally to his will, he will direct our paths. Amen. Amen. Some of you sitting here in church today and you say, how in the world did I get in this church? You don't even know for sure exactly how you got here, but God led you here and you're here, not necessarily today. Some of you may have been 30, 40 years ago, but God directed you right here. I've had people tell me the car actually just turned in. And so God has a way. In Isaiah chapter 48, verse 17, I am the Lord your God who teaches you what is best for you. Do you believe that? He's teaching me what is best for me, if I'll just listen. Who directs you in the way you should go. The Lord teaches us what is best and directs our steps to it. And he has brought you to this church for some reason. And you need to listen to what he's saying to you from this pulpit. You might say, well, you brag on yourself. Well, I don't mean to, but I do brag on the Word of God. That's why I read it and read it and read it. And I pray over these scriptures until I know I got what you need. You may not recognize what you need, but God knows what you need. And it's kind of like when you were a kid. Your mama put green beans or corn or something on your plate, and you say, I don't want that. She says, well, you eat it because it's good for you. And sometimes what God has for us is good for us, whether we know it or not. Amen. I'm getting amens today, not even having to work at it. This is good. Okay. Serving the Lord is exciting. It really is. He gives you wisdom and direction, shows you things to do. And I said once, I don't even buy a pair of shoes unless I pray over it. Somebody said, oh, that's silly. Well, it's not silly if you got a corn on your toe. I got a corn on my toe now that got there about 60 years ago because I didn't pray over the shoes. I bought the wrong pair of shoes. And so we need to ask God to give us direction in everything we do. Amen. And what's wrong with that? You think he's too busy? What's he got, 7 billion people, and he can hear every one of us all at the same time? Amen. You see, he is always working in the background for our good. Never doubt it. He is working behind you. You don't even know he's there. He's got angels watching over you that you can't see. Amen. And that should give you great comfort that God is working. And even if you miss God's will, if you want God's will, he'll turn the thing around. Amen. But you need to believe that and walk with that kind of confidence that even if I make a mistake, don't walk in fear, because I don't. He gave me that verse in Psalm 91. He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways and to bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. What does that mean? It means even if you make a mistake, the angels will bear you. If I quit worrying about me making a mistake, I don't want to make any mistakes, but I don't worry about it like I used to, because God can turn the thing around and bring success out of a mistake. Amen. And his angels can bear you up so you don't hurt yourself. Okay. Let me think, this is pretty good so far. Amen. If you know I know the plans I have, declares the Lord. Plans to bless you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope in the future. What does that mean? He is working in the background for your good. He knows the plan and he's working on it. Isaiah 30, verse 21. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. And when you hear him telling you to do something, then you need to pray until you know for sure that that is his voice. The devil's not pulling one on you. Find, know that it's really God. Know it's not your flesh. Once you have that knows of revelation in you, it's the word of God, then you go do it believing that God's going to make it work. If God tells you to do it, he will make it work. I've had people to tell me, well, God told me to do it, and so-and-so hindered me, and I couldn't do it. I had this problem. No, God didn't tell you to do it. If he told you to do it, he'll make it work. Unless you give up. You can get discouraged and give up and not fulfill your part. Amen. And miss it. But if you give it everything you got and God told you to do it, he will make it work. I thought it was impossible to start this church from zero, but here it is. I thought it was impossible to raise $40,000 one time to do some repairs on this church. And today, counting what's already come in, we're over $700,000 that's come in to repair this church. So you hear from God, you step out, and God will take care of it. So we must always have our ears attuned to his voice. Make no decisions until you pray about it. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 11, the Lord will guide you always. I mean, no, guiding sometimes does not mean telling you what to do. He guides you. He guides you. The Lord will guide you always. He has a plan, and he'll guide us to it. And at the right time, if we need to hear his voice, we'll hear his voice. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Some will depart from the faith. You say, well, is this message really important? It's really, really important. Some will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. There's demons and devils right now working on you, and he may have you listening to some false heresies right now, some doctrines of demons and devils, and you need to pray that God will direct you and that God will give you wisdom and direction, speak in your life so you do not listen to the wrong voice. Amen. He wants to destroy you. He wants you to make one big bad mistake that'll wreck your whole life. I need to hear the voice of God every day, every time he speaks. 1 Timothy 4, 1. Some will depart from the faith, giving heed, listening to demonic voices, listening to demonic ideas. You see, it is important to know his voice and his plan, because Satan is working to deceive every one of us. While God is working on our behalf, he's working with an evil plan to destroy us, our families, our kids, our jobs, our careers. We must recognize when God is directing us and speaking to us, speaking into our lives. Now, I want to look at some of the ways the Lord speaks to us. These are all workings of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is working in my life to reveal the truth to me. This may be a surprise to some, but a strong desire. Some people think that every desire is from the flesh. If you fulfill the desires that you have, it's the devil. It might just be God. I have discovered that when God wants me to do something, very often he gives me a desire to do it, a desire to get it, whatever it is, a strong desire. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. For it is God who is all the while effectually at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and desire, both to will and to work his good pleasure and satisfaction and delight. Very often he puts a desire in you for the things he wants you to have. Some of the desires we have, God put there, and as long as they're not contrary to God's word, it's good. Can you say amen? If you have a desire that goes against God's word, then that's different. Very often, God will put a desire in us for the things he wants us to have. And we must discern if it's our desire, our personal desire, or if it's God's desire. But very often, it's God. And when we came to Knoxville, we're in desperation to find a house. God worked a miracle. We got a house on Angola Road. And it was nice, but it wasn't as nice as the one we had in Lexington. You know, it cost quite a bit less. It's fine with us. We didn't care. We just wanted to be in the will of God. But I knew in my heart that someday God was going to give us a nicer house. Because when you give up something for God, he promises to give it back to you 100-fold. Now, I know a lot of people preach exactly opposite, but I'm going with Jesus. That's what he said. If you give up something for the kingdom, he'll bless you 100-fold. That doesn't mean he's going to give you 100 houses. It means he's going to bless you in all kind of ways. But anyway, people are going to doubt the word of God, and just let them doubt. But you and me, let's believe the word of God. And so all of a sudden, after about 7 years, we had this desire just to look for a house. And we started looking for a house, and we found my house. It's still my house, 1828 Northwood Drive, and we looked it over. It's a little bit too expensive for us. We thought, well, it's a nice house, but hey, you know, God's got a way, and so we just kept waiting and praying. I mean, you know, you can't get in a hurry, and wait on the Lord. There's a scripture that says, wait on the Lord, keep his way, and he'll exalt you to inherit the land. And so we were going slow, and they told us, I think it was 40 different families looked at that house, and not one offer made on that house because God was keeping it for us. Amen. Can you say amen? But it started with a desire, and God worked a miracle. We got it at a price that we could afford. We lived there for 30 years, and now we live in Dottie's house. But I kept that house. I knew God gave me that house. Is he going to sell the house? I have no intention of selling the house. My intention, if I can afford a divorce, I'm kidding. Dottie's going to, she's followed me this far. She's not going to give up now. But anyway, I'd kind of like to move back there. But this just shows you how God works. We weren't praying for another house. We were happy where we were. And then God gave us this house where we are. It's over $1 million house. Just gave it to us. Oh, you mean he gave you a good deal? No. I think the deed says we paid $10 for it. Something like that. And it gave it to us. So you see, God can work behind the scenes. He can do things for you. And I don't think he really did it for me. I think he did it for Dottie because she's been following me around all these years, sacrificing. We put about every dime we got back into this church. And God says, okay, I'm going to give Dottie a house. It's none of your business, Pastor. But it's a dream house. And we got a lot of bushes and trees, so I hired a guy to come in and clean it all up. And we sat right smack on the 17th hole of the Fox Den golf course. People would kill to get that house. And I didn't even want it. I didn't want to move it. I want to stay where I was. Can you say amen? But I sat there yesterday, and we can see the golf course really good since we cleaned up the place. sitting up, and that is the most beautiful place I ever laid eyes on, and I live there. Amen. Didn't ask for it, didn't want it, almost turned it down when I got it. I'm one of those proud country boys. I am so humble that I'm really proud of it. You have to explain that to some people. If you're proud of being humble, you're not humble. Okay. But anyway, God gave us that first house with a desire. And then the Bible. I'd say most of the time God speaks to me is straight from the Bible. What time is it? Got a little time left. And I got a lot of scriptures to go. The Bible. I was praying to know God's will because, and you've heard part of this story before, but I'm putting it in a little different context. I had a desire to pastor my own church. Here again, you had that desire. That turned out to be God. But I needed to hear from God. I had a good job, associate pastor. The people of that church loved me, almost worshiped the ground I walked on. I could ask them for anything and get it. And I took Ronnie there one time after being here for a long time. And he said, those people still worship you here almost. So I had great favor with those people. And there's no way I was going to leave unless I knew it was God. And I was just associate pastor. But I was a wonderful person then. I am now. Everybody's not going to agree with that. And God gave me this word, Isaiah chapter 60, verse 20. I've given more detail, but you don't need the detail today. The verse said, arise, shine, for the light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Can you think of a better scripture for a guy praying for the will of God about pastoring a church? So he says, okay, yes, is this your time? Arise and shine, for the light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. This is actually a prophecy of Jesus Christ, okay? But he used it for me. Can you say amen? Amen. God can use his Holy Scripture any way he wants, whether you like it or not. Verse 2, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. And this is my scripture. It was Jesus, but it's mine too. I'm not God, but I'm his servant. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. And boy, since God gave me that word, it just seems like, especially America, just become more sinful and more wicked than ever before. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. Look at that. But the Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. So yes, step out and pastor a church. Amen. Amen. I knew immediately this was God telling me, y'all pay attention. You got to spend time in the Bible. I knew immediately this was God telling me from Scripture that I was called to pastor a church. This word became a no-so revelation that is still in my heart. I know this very day I'm called to pastor a church. No matter what anybody says, thinks, or does, I'm doing exactly what I'm called to do. And it doesn't go by anything except I know I'm supposed to be doing it. How do I know it was God? Because he opened the doors and made it work. Amen. If it's God, he'll open the doors and make it work. And then number three on my list is his voice. Very often God just speaks to me and gives me a direct order, like go to Knoxville and start a church. Direct order. Turned out to be God. But I didn't just start loading a U-Haul. I prayed until I knew, until I had a word from God. In John 10:3, Jesus said, the watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. If you want to be successful in life, you better learn how to hear God's voice and know that God is directing you if you want to be blessed and successful in this life, because there's the devil setting roadblocks for you to hinder you and shut you down. You see, he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Verse 4, when he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. Are you following him? Are you hearing his voice when you have turns in the roads, a fork in the road, and you need to make a turn? You come to the dead end, you got to go left or right. Can you hear and know the direction? You better. Because if you go the wrong way, it could affect the rest of your life. If we are truly born again children of God, we will recognize his voice. He'll make sure we recognize it. We just have to do what we did when we was praying about 8, 18:28 Northwood, you just have to go slow and wait on the Lord until you know. But you shall have it out. John 18:37 says, everyone who is of the truth hears his voice. We can know in our hearts we have heard from God. Michael, our treasurer, he shared this a little bit, I think a few weeks ago. He was in the mole removal business, you know, this is many years ago. And he had this lady client that wanted him to check under her house in the crawl space, to check for mold and just check it out because she felt like that was her problem. He said, no, I am not going into your crawl space. He went out and sat in his truck and sitting there thinking, I'm not getting under that house. And the Lord spoke to him. He said, the money is under the house. Just like that. The Lord showed him how to fix crawl spaces. Today, he has a company called Crawl Space Ninja. It is franchised in several states because he heard the voice of God. Shay Tate, very successful businessman in his church, he'll tell you the same thing. Milton, very successful, he'll tell you the same thing. The businessmen, many of them have been blessed since they got here because they learned how to really hear and obey the voice of God. Not taking any credit at all, not at all. But when you hear the word of God and obey it, things change. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen? And then a sign. Somebody says, I want a sign. Well, I feel like God prefers that I live by faith. He doesn't always give me a sign. He speaks to me and says, I go do it. As I start to do it, I get a piece about it, get direction, and it works. A sign, Judges chapter 6, verse 36, is scriptural. Gideon said to God, if you will save Israel by my hand as you have promised, verse 37, look, I will place a wool fleece on the threshing floor. If there is dew only on the fleece and all the ground is dry, then I will know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you said. And sure enough, the next morning the fleece was so wet he could wring water out of it and the ground was dry. But some people, they're just nervous people. And so he said, well, let's do it again. And this time reverse it. Cause the fleece to be dry and the ground to be wet. But the point is, God gave him a sign. And it happened just like he asked, and he knew he'd heard from God. Dottie asked for a sign when we were praying about coming to Knoxville. And it's very appropriate to tell it again right here, because God does speak sometimes through signs. And I needed for her to have a sign because she wasn't willing to come. I told God, I said, look, I'm not going to Knoxville without her. And I know that wouldn't be your will, so you're going to have to talk to her. So I had a preacher coming, George Gray, and he was going to preach that Sunday morning. And as far as we knew, he spent his whole life in Louisville, Kentucky, in that area there. And she knew there was no chance at all in the natural that he would mention Knoxville in his sermon. So she said, let George Gray, if you want us to go to Knoxville, let George Gray mention Knoxville in his message today. In the middle of his sermon, in a very low voice, George Gray said he was saved on a train coming from Knoxville going to Louisville. Evidently been down to a ball game, and on the way back got saved. She said, what did he say? And he repeated it out louder this time. He said, I was saved on a train coming from Knoxville to Louisville. After church, he was prancing around. She was so happy. I said, what happened to her? And she told me about that. God gave her a sign. And she hadn't questioned from that day to this. God will give you a sign if that's what you need. So it's okay to ask for a sign. Thank you, Jesus. But accept it any way you get it. Accept his will any way you get it. And then great peace. I hear people all the time saying, well, I have a peace about that. Well, that's what I'm talking about. A lot of times it's just a peace. It's just a no. So God's got it. I'm going to go with it. Can you say amen? And you can pray until you know that's real. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let me know your prayer should be with thanksgiving. Find something to thank God for. For one thing, it builds your faith. When you start thanking God for everything He's already done, it causes you to believe, well, He can do it one more time. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding. There it is, the peace of God that passes understanding. Sometimes I just have a peace. I look around, the whole world's in a mess, and I'm thinking, why do I have peace? I have peace because God gave it to me. And God's peace passes understanding, and that means God's got it, even though it may not look like it. Amen. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I had a very big problem once, several years ago, and I was just worried sick over it. And I was sitting in the back of one of my vans just praying, talking to God. As I prayed, I heard the Lord say, "You do not have a problem that cannot be fixed in prayer." And I remember this scripture, pray through to peace. I started praying through till I got peace about that, and I knew that God had heard me, and I knew that God was taking care of it. I prayed until I had a peace in my heart that it was fixed. And then in my heart, I knew I'd already won. So the next morning, I showed up at the meeting and watched God work everything out. And I didn't have to say one word. Amen. But I knew it was taken care of because I had that great peace. Great peace can be a confirmation. But a lot of times, God will use more than one of these together for confirmation. Discerning. You just know. There's times I just know. And sometimes, as a pastor, I've met people come into this church, and I just knew they were no good. Didn't know how I knew it, but I knew it. And in time or two, I talked myself out of it. Said, "Well, they're good people. They're doing really nice." And then, as soon as I start putting them in positions of leadership, they turn into the demon I thought they was in the beginning. You say, "Why is that important?" Because how many of you work? How many have jobs? How many own your own business or you manage a business? You need to have that discerning to recognize when somebody is from God and when they're not. Amen. And I don't tell you that to try to make you afraid of me. I want you to know you can have that revelation. Amen. Linda Deering, she goes to all the hospitals and nursing homes and homes and shut-ins. She's all over the place. And sometimes she needs to have a discerning from God who to help and who not, because some people take advantage of you. Can you say amen? There's some preachers like me that take advantage of you. never, not intentionally. Discerning, Acts chapter 27, verse 10. Men, I perceive, discern, that this voyage will certainly be with damage and great loss, not only of the cargo and the ship, but also of our lives. Paul was under arrest. The centurion was escorting him to Rome to stand trial before Caesar because he was a Christian preacher. And before they got on the ship, Paul says, "Look, I'm telling you right now, I know in my spirit that this voyage is going to end in disaster. Let's don't go right now." And listen, and the centurion was more persuaded by the pilot and the captain of the ship. He said, "Oh, the weather's good. It's going to be okay. Let's go." How many know they didn't have weather apps on their cell phone? And if I remember correctly, they didn't even have cell phones. Okay. But Paul didn't need a cell phone. He didn't need a weather app. He knew here. Y'all paying attention? You can discern things. Sometimes the Holy Spirit's saying, "Don't go there. Don't do this. Hold it." And I've learned that the hard way, time or two. You go ahead, you may have a disaster. But you can pray until you have a no-so peace about it. And, or however you get the word from God, pray till you know. The centurion was more persuaded by the pilot and the captain of the ship. The Holy Spirit was telling them that this is not God's will. Wait a while. Don't go right now. But no one would listen, so they got caught in a great storm, and the ship was totally destroyed, and they had to swim out of the ocean, holding on to boards and planks to keep from drowning. So they got caught in the storm. The ship was destroyed. And Paul could have saved them the loss of that ship if they just listened to his discernment in him. At one of our Lenore City Park picnics many years ago, I was just running a tiny bit late, drove up to the lake, and boy, I had this no-so in me, a great disaster is about to happen. Something bad that could wreck this church, destroy this church, is about to happen. And I discerned it in my spirit. I discerned a tragedy was about to happen on the lake. And I ran to the lake as fast as I could. When I got to the lake, I saw many of our kids in canoes without life jackets. That's against the law. And then it's certainly against the North City Parks law. You're not supposed to be out there without life jackets. I started praying and ordered them to put on the life jackets. Some didn't like it, but I said, it doesn't matter. You put them on anyway. Because I know. I've heard from God. Put those life jackets on. And then I went to help with the volleyball teams. A girl on her school swim team decided she didn't need a life jacket, and she took hers off. Her canoe flipped over, hit her in the head. She was almost unconscious. She was trapped under the canoe, and she said, I'm going to drown. She knew she'd made a big mistake, but it's too late. I saw that by the Holy Spirit. Discernment. A young man, now remember I prayed and bound the devil off that lake. A young man jumped, and I'm not taking any credit for anything. I'm just telling you how God works. Amen. How many want to know how? A young man jumped out of his canoe, putting his own life at risk, jumped into the water and saved her life, pulled her out from under that canoe. Amen. Because of the discernment, I took authority over the devil. And I demanded that they do what was legal, put those life jackets on. I don't care how much faith you have, do what's right. Do everything you can to protect your own life. And God protected us. If that girl had drowned, this church probably had been destroyed. And a lot of pastors, they don't even believe what I'm preaching. And as Alice says, it matters where you go to church. You need to have some leaders that know how to hear from God. When they tell you to raise $40,000 a year to raise up a church, you need to be able to know they've heard from God. Not bragging to complain. That's just the way it's supposed to be. This side over here is real good at amening. Okay, let's try it. One more time. Well, that's better. How much time I got? Holy Spirit caution. And it's a little bit like discerning, but it's a little bit different too. Sometimes you just have a caution right here. Before Sabrina was born, I had something in me that says, there's something wrong with this baby. There was a caution. Something's happening here that's not right. And I didn't pray it through, and she was born with a major heart condition. And then after she was born, then I had to pray it through. So why not go ahead and listen to the Lord and pray it through ahead of time? She did not have to be born with a heart condition. Well, look what God did to Barry. Let him have a baby born with a heart condition after he started the church. Church was only 2 years old. That was Barry's fault. Because God warned him. But I just believe God. Well, you got to pray it through. I know a lot of people don't believe that, but you can have a disaster if you don't. And I did. It was a disaster at the time. But God turned it to good. Acts chapter 16, verse 6. Paul and his companions traveled through the region of Phrygia and Galatia. Listen, and this the Word of God just teaches you so much. Having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the Word in the province of Asia. They tried to go into Asia, and they felt this caution, this resistance. Don't go into Asia. Why? Because it's not God's will. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus. What's the Spirit of Jesus? The Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that anointed him is on us. It's the Holy Spirit. There's only one Spirit. Spirit of wisdom and revelation is only one Spirit, the Holy Spirit. But the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to do it. So the Holy Spirit was resisting them and holding them back, giving them the caution, this is not the right place. You see, when we feel the Holy Spirit resisting us, we need to stop.
Amen.
The amen's still louder over here. Looks like about the same amount of people. when we feel the Holy Spirit resisting us, we need to stop. A check, somebody might call it a check in my spirit. Is it going to kill you to take an hour or two and really pray through until you find out what's going on? Amen. During the night, and then it says, verse 8, so they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul found out what was going on. They were trying to go to the wrong places. It probably wouldn't have hurt anything if they'd gone in those places, but they wouldn't have been in the will of God. How many want to operate in the will of God? Amen. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. So the Holy Spirit can use visions. But first, he kept them from making mistakes and going to the wrong place. And then the Holy Spirit gave them a vision of where they were supposed to go. So after Paul has seen the vision, verse 10, after Paul has seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Sometimes you get all the information together and you just conclude, this has to be the will of God. Amen. Amen. They try to go here, resistance, try to go here, resistance, try to go to different places. The Holy Spirit resisted them, held them back, and then God gave them this vision, this revelation, and then they said, well, this has to be the will of God. They concluded, and they found themselves in the will of God. And dreams and visions, that was a vision right there. In Acts chapter 5, verse 10, in Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision. The Lord's given me two or three real strong visions myself over the years. And boy, when you get a revelation like that, you need to make sure you listen. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street. Gave him the address. And go there and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. And Ananias recognized that name. He said, wait a minute, this guy is here to kill Christians. And the Lord said, go, he's praying. So in a vision, God told Ananias where Saul of Tarsus was, with instruction to minister to him. And of course, Saul of Tarsus became St. Paul, became probably the greatest preacher in all of history until now. God gave little Joseph a dream of people bowing down to him, and he told the wrong people, told his brothers. They went up, sell him into slavery, and when they were trying to destroy him, God worked in the background to take him to Egypt, and he wound up being the prime minister of all of Egypt. And one day he looked out, and there his brothers were bowing down to him just like he saw in his dream. Let's all stand.